Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:01 on Wednesday, March 27th. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis. Also present are Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchek.
No opening comments for me either.
Commissioner Christman.
Well, buy us a little time then, because yesterday I had just one of the most thrilling days I've ever had. I was invited to be the speaker for the Senate Memorial Service.
Ooh.
Every legislative session, each house does a memorial service for for members who have passed away during the previous 2 years. And there were some great House members as well, but I just part of that. But on the Senate side, there were eight of them, and I did some of them I knew, and some of them I had to research. It was interesting the eight that passed away, their time in the Senate spread out over 5.5 decades. One was still in 2013, and one started his service in 1959. And yet they were only born in an 11-year period. And I did some research. All eight of them had family members that returned, a number of them from out of state. And I had found what I thought were some quite interesting and fascinating stories about literally every one of them. And it was just an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah, very nice.
Good job.
And, by the way, the one who was in the Senate in 59 and 61 and then ended up with a presidential appointment at FDIC before he became a senator from the kind of the Mandan or Morton County area back in those days. His job before that was as an attorney at the Public Service Commission.
Oh, wow.
Neat.
That's cool.
Who was that?
His name was Charles Murphy.
Okay. All roads lead back to the PSC.
Okay, we have six items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, we will now move into the regular agenda. I don't have any items today. So Commissioner Fedorchek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one motion for two items here. Excuse me. Believing there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law or fact, I move the Commission consolidate for hearing under NDA Administrative Code Section 6902.0404, Russo Wind Partners, LLC, Russo Wind Project, McLean and Ward County, citing application case number PU-19-28, and Russo Wind Partners, 230 kV transmission line, McHenry and Ward County, citing application case number PU-19-29.
Sec.
I'm not quite done, unfortunately. I just had to take a breath. I've got two more paragraphs. I further move the Commission deem the applications complete, conditioned on receipt at least 30 days prior to the hearing of maps and GIS maps showing exclusion and avoidance areas in the setting area and the final site plan, including project area boundaries, non-participating parcels, turbines, access roads, collector lines, transmission line structures, and all residential receptor points labeled with ID numbers, distance to nearest turbines, and participating/non-participating status. I further move the Commission issue a notice of filings and consolidated hearing in Russo Wind Partners, LLC, McLean and Ward Counties, citing application case number PU-19-28, and Russo Wind Partners, 230 kV transmission line, McHenry and Ward Counties, citing application case number PU-19-29.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. This is a new wind facility proposal. It is for 250 megawatts. The wind farm itself is going to be in Ward County, and the transmission line crosses into McLean County a bit. The facility is located in the southeast corner of Ward County, so it's about 5 to 10 miles south of Velva, southwest of Velva, and 5 miles straight east of Max. The company developing this is Russo Wind Partners, which is a subsidiary of Southern Power Company, which I don't know if they have any other projects in North Dakota. I believe this is my first interaction with Southern in our state. They might have some other involvement in some of the coal facilities. I'm not entirely sure, but they are a big power company nationwide and growing their resources all over. So we will be looking to hold a consolidated public hearing on the applications on June 17th at 9 a.m. at the Sleep Inn in Minot. And so we'll cover both the wind generation facility and the transmission line during that project or during that hearing. So any interested parties should make note of that and come and attend that hearing. And at a later date, we've got a workshop tomorrow that's going to be addressing some issues that we just want to improve on the whole siting process and the hearings. And so I anticipate that we will be identifying a specific time on that day to take public testimony so people don't have to wait all day long and not know when they might get a chance to speak. So that's one of the discussion points for our meeting tomorrow. And after that, we may be getting out closer to the hearing date a time, another news release that includes the time, estimated time for public hearing. So any help that the media can get to spreading or provide to spreading that word on that, that would be appreciated.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I do, and I'm glad you mentioned that. Is the workshop tomorrow?
It is.
Okay. I think that's going to be important, and even though this action is being taken today, and I hope they will in good spirit follow the kinds of guidelines that we talk about tomorrow. It just seems to me over the course of 6+ years that some of these siting hearings are evolving, and if we don't stop this evolution, they're going to turn into a mockery. I'm not saying that they're at that point now, but this motion says the final site plan. Now, I know something can come up at the end and something needs to be tweaked, but there's a big difference between tweaking something that is discovered and coming in the last few days with a whole new set of everything that no one has gotten to look at. And so I hope that they will take this seriously and have what they intend to present, at least a very close version of it, in within 30 days in advance, because that's convenient for us, but more importantly, it's urgent for people that aren't working in here every day and don't know about all these additional filings and rely on this motion and think that 30 days before they can look at our website and find all this information and prepare their opinions and their potential responses for the public hearing. The other part of it is, I hope that, just throwing this out, that tomorrow I want to bring up and address kind of some sort of time constraints on the hearings. I'm going to get some more background information. I don't know of very many courts that allow just unlimited time. And even if we move up the timing of public comments, that solves the problem of a company just kind of filibustering the day away so everybody goes home and doesn't make comments. But if the people come in and make comments before the company's done, and then the company finally gives us the last version, now they think they've commented on what's on the table, and it turns out that maybe later in the day then the company changes it. And so we really need to constrain the changes that occur at the last minute and make sure that the public does, in fact, have a chance to know what it is we're talking about and to comment on it.
One more follow-up, if I might, on the exhibits that are required or the information 30 days prior. I don't know. Jerry, who's the attorney on this? Not from our side, from the company. Who's handling it for Southern? Do they have local counsel?
Yeah, but we haven't worked with them before.
Okay, so it'll be really important for our staff to be working closely with them on this information and how we'd like to get it. And I want to be involved in the development of those maps so we get them in a way, in a format that is actually helpful for us to decipher and use during the hearing so we can go back and forth on that. I'm not talking about every single map. I'm talking about the one map that includes everything. Yeah.
Well, I want to commend Commissioner Fedorchak for organizing, helping spearhead this workshop. I think it's a fantastic idea. And, you know, we saw a few things that happened at the last hearing for the Burke Wind Project, more than a few. And it wasn't just the company. It was also some of the agencies we work with that brought forth some very late exhibits. So I think this is timely, it's necessary, and ultimately it's really important that the public does have an opportunity, and if we can give them a better opportunity to speak and voice their opinions, and if we can give them a better roadmap as a part of this process, we'll see where it lands. I think for me personally, and I've heard the other commissioners say it, one of the most important parts of a hearing is getting the public input. It's critical. They're the ones who are impacted by the projects ultimately, so we need to hear what they have to say.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes my items on the agenda today.
Commissioner
Chris. Chairman, I move the commission approve bond release number 7 for surface coal mining permit number NACT-9101 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 30.579 acres of land located in a portion of the southeast quarter of Section 21, Township 145 North, Range 86 West in Mercer County. The release will become effective April 26th of this year, unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
The land in this bond release application is owned by Coteau Properties. The bond release tract contains 18.1 acres of land that was affected by mining activities and 12.5 acres of land that was not disturbed. The tract contains 29.2 acres of cropland and 1.4 acres of road right-of-way. That is a paved county road. Affected areas were respread with 11 to 30 inches of topsoil and 30 to 37 inches of subsoil. Approximately 9 acres of prime farmland soils were affected and reclaimed. And I point that out, and I'll get that back into that in a minute, but because we've been talking about prime farmland issues. The reclaimed and undisturbed cropland was managed as hayland until 2011, when it was broken and planted with spring wheat. The cropland productivity or yield standard is developed from the pre-mine productivity values of the soils that existed prior to mining. That's an important point, and it's something that we don't really do with other types of projects that we work on here, is get the pre-disturbance information. 3 years of yield data is needed to demonstrate revegetation success of prime farmland, while only 2 years of data is needed with non-prime farmland. So there is a clear distinction. Yield data beginning after year 6 of the 10-year revegetation responsibility period is needed to demonstrate revegetation success. A cropland control area was established on undisturbed lands in the area to allow for an annual climatic adjustment for the cropland yield standard. The reclaimed county road ditch has excellent ground cover. The county road on the east side of this tract has been reconstructed by Coteau as directed by the Mercer County Road Authority. The Mercer County Road Superintendent inspected this road on September 13th of 2010, and he accepted the road in its current condition. Coteau has completed surface and groundwater post-mine hydrologic assessments for the proposed bond release area and the adjacent area. The reports show that there was no material damage to the hydrologic balance outside the permit area and no significant unmitigated negative impact to the surface and groundwater resources within the bond release area. A post-mining wildlife assessment for the island study area was compiled and included in the biannual wildlife monitoring report. This report and the bond release application contains information that concludes that wildlife habitat on this area has not been diminished. The formal bond release inspection was conducted on November 8th of 2016. A county commissioner, the Mercer County Road Superintendent, North Dakota Game and Fish representatives, and surface owners in the area did not express any concerns with the bond release application. Actual soil respread thicknesses were verified. A notice of the bond release application was published in the official county newspaper, the Hazen Star, as well as the Beulah Beacon for four consecutive weeks from October 20th through November 10th of 2016. No objections to this bond release application were received. Coteau is not requesting any reduction in the bond amount since the area is currently covered by a worst-case reclamation condition that still exists at the Freedom Mine. The bond release will become effective April 26 of 2019 unless a formal hearing is requested. Coteau has demonstrated that the reclaimed lands have met all applicable bond release performance standards, and the Reclamation Division recommends approval of the bond release application based on the findings that I just discussed.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order lifting suspension and reinstating warehouse license in Arthur Glasso and Lance Glasso doing business as Wild Rose C&D, license number 891, Wild Rose, North Dakota, suspension case number GE-19-46.
Second.
We received a notice of cancellation for the certificate of insurance on grain for Wild Rose C&D on January 7th, and that cancellation was effective March 9th. The replacement insurance was not timely filed, and grain warehouse license number 891 was suspended effective February 8th. That's how it's laid out in the law, that it has to be redone by a month before the previous policy expires. So Wild Rose C&D had until March 8th to file proof of new insurance on grain or submit a written request for a hearing. On March 7th, the day before the deadline, the commission received proof of insurance. So staff recommends the commission reinstate grain warehouse license number 891 issued to Wild Rose C&D and date the proof of insurance on, that is the date the proof of insurance on grain was filed. I will tell you that I signed a temporary approval of this on March 11th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order granting request to discontinue business in Larimore Sunflower Incorporated, license number 1022, Larimore, North Dakota, discontinue business, case number GE-19-104.
Second.
We received the request to discontinue business from Larimore Sunflower for its warehouse. The facility is closed. There are no outstanding storage obligations, unpaid scale tickets, open contracts, or grain inventory. Star of the West Milling Company of Frankenmuth, Michigan, will license the storage space as part of their McKenna, North Dakota location. McKenna's nearby. Staff recommends the request be approved effective March 9th. And I, again, did sign a temporary approval of this discontinued business.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And last, I move the commission approve the 2019 Williams County Road 9 Phase 7 and Noonan AML project, the 2019 Exploratory Drilling AML project, the 2019 Morton County Phase 2 AML project, and the 2019-2020 sinkhole AML, sinkhole filling AML project for abandoned mine reclamation in 2019 and submit the 2019-2020 North Dakota Abandoned Mine Land Simplified Grant application to the Office of Surface Mining to request $2,814,000 in federal funds.
Second.
I'm always amazed to read a motion like that and have the word simplified be as part of it, but so it goes. On March 19th, we received notice that OSM allocated North Dakota $2,814,000 for the next AML grant period that began March 1st. We should have been allocated $3 million this year as a minimum program-funded state, but that amount was reduced by 6.2% due to sequestration. The AML division plans for 2019 include a remote backfilling project, which will stabilize underground coal mine workings at an industrial development near Williston and along Divide County Highway 21 and a few other roads and trails south of Noonan. Also, an investigatory project will be conducted to locate and characterize suspected abandoned underground coal mines at an industrial subdivision near Williston. Also, a 30-acre project will reclaim 5 surface mines and eliminate about 4,400 feet of dangerous high walls in Morton County. And also, a 2-year project will be conducted to fill dangerous sinkholes caused by underground mine collapse. The construction period can go 3 years until February 28th of 22 if necessary, but we try to complete them in a shorter time frame.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Chrisman. In terms of announcements, we have a 1:30 today, an informal hearing on integrated resource planning for Northern States Power Company. So that will be at 1:30 here at the Capitol in the Commission hearing room tomorrow. As previously mentioned, we have a 2 o'clock meeting on Thursday, March 28th. That would be the siting workshop regarding the applications, exhibits, and hearings. And next week, we will be in Watford City, North Dakota, at Teddy's Residential Suites, 113 9th Avenue Southeast, and that will be for the One Oak Bakken Pipeline. That's a 20-inch NGL pipeline. That's a formal hearing for case number 18-399. And then finally, we have a regular commission meeting. Our next regular commission meeting will be on Thursday, April 11th. Here in the commission room, hearing room at the Capitol. That will be at 10 o'clock. So we will now take a brief recess to take questions from the press, followed by potentially a short break. We're moving through this pretty quickly, but this meeting is now in recess.
Right, just on the Coteau properties, how much